there are many, many views on bankruptcy as a good approach to take. There are those that feel that because it stops the process of discovery, that therefore it will freeze victim survivors out of being able to tell their story. I am confident, at least in Buffalo, that the way this judge has spoken is that that will not happen, so that everybody that has a claim can come forward. He wants to hear all sides, as so I do as well, too. And of course, there's other ways of telling your story other than going through the civil courts, as the CVA provided, that, you know, the Child Victims Act. We do actually have a church process ourselves. So I always say, anybody, please come forward. Don't be afraid. We will talk to you. We will hear your story. We will walk with you. We will be sure that nobody who is, whether it's active, we don't see too many of that, or whether it's historical, that you're still suffering from the effects of the abuse you suffered, we will definitely walk with you and make sure that restorative justice is done. But I don't know whether other dioceses will go this way. You know, generally speaking, if a diocese can meet its financial obligations, it's not going to look down this road. But I have to tell you that even here in Albany, while at the present we're not facing that, I am very much concerned that we reform and revise and retool and refine our structures, our ways of doing things, so that they do serve our mission very clearly. And our mission to survivors who are not, well, let's face it, not only those that have experienced this directly are affected by this. It affects families, communities, you know, and parishes. So,
can we talk about Albany specifically?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
I mean, I know that a lot of priests have been accused. I think it was over 80. So do you think that it's getting close to the point where restructuring might be required?
Well, as I say, our process of reforming is ongoing. And I hope it doesn't have to get to that point, because I think if we're being responsible, we'll be able to be doing that before that, without making any judgments of other dioceses. So I can't predict what will happen down the road, but we're going to continue to do all we can to address what, to do the healing that we need to do and the restorative justice that needs to go on.
For our listeners, families who say, you know, now I'm not so sure that I want to send my kid to Catholic programs. I mean, what is your message directly to those people?
Well, you know, obviously actions speak louder than words. And there is, and I may not be the best one to make this case, but the reality is that right now, the circumstances that we're in right now with our safe environment programs that have been in place for the last 20 years at least, and our call to transparency and to openness, I think it's, I don't really think there's a safer environment to send a child than the Catholic Church right now. You know, but I'm not saying, don't just take my word for it. Speak to people that are in administration in the schools. Many people do, in fact, those who do come to our schools and do come to our parishes, have experience that they can rely with security on that. Safety comes first, protection of our young people, and that is right in the forefront of our mission. And I think right now, given the procedures and policies we have in place, it is a safe place. Most of the abuse is historical. Doesn't mean that it doesn't continue to affect those that experienced it, you know, even if it happened years ago. I can cite specific figures, but I don't believe that's necessarily the best way to make the case.